The Celtic people originated in Central Europe. By the year 500 BC, they had spread throughout Western Europe. And as the centuries unfolded, their customs were best preserved in Ireland and to a degree in Scotland and Wales and England and Northern France. The Celts have a long religious history. They transmitted their religion by word of mouth with a rich collection of poems, stories, legends, and songs. And this included myths and legends about their origins as a people. Celtic paganism was grounded in the earth, in nature, in the cycles of nature. They were polytheists, believing in many deities. But above all, there was the mother goddess Danu, Mother Earth. Celtic paganism had a vast knowledge of herbs, roots, stones, and their healing or magical qualities. They regarded the oak tree as sacred, and when they cleared the land for a settlement, would leave an oak tree in the middle and call it the Tree of Life. They were led by their druid priests who conducted religious ceremonies. They also advised the Celtic chieftains and settled legal disputes. The Celtic people believed in life after death, that the human soul continued after the death of the body. There was a continuity between life and death, and that ancestors should be remembered. Spiritual time was marked as a cycle. It was not linear. It was the cycle of the year, the seasons, winter, spring, summer, fall. And with each great season, and in between each great season, there was an important religious festival. Samhain, at the beginning of the year, rituals performed around a great bonfire, family hearth relit, ancestors could visit that evening in your house. Festival of Imbolc, arriving in midwinter when the goddess Bridget would breathe life into the winter. When it gets to be 50 degrees this Wednesday, that's Bridget blowing life into the winter to bring spring. Beltane, which means fire, was the spring ceremony marked by merrymaking, the maypole, bonfires, and there was a midsummer harvest festival with music and food and great tribal assemblies. Now, we could mention many qualities about Celtic paganism that are of interest. Some were terrible, very superstitious. Others were very insightful and deep. I'd like to mention two. First, the Celts had a deep intimacy with the natural world. Just imagine camping out. Their life was like a perennial camp out. You were always close to nature. When it turned night, it was dark. You waited for the sun. It was cold or warm. You didn't have indoor heating. Very close to nature. They considered the air, the rocks, the soil, the rivers, the mountains, the trees, the animals were all sacred. Everything had a sacred component to it. It wasn't just dead, inert matter out there. It was a sacred living earth. It was Mother Earth herself. That means that the holy was immanent. Immanent means it's within the creation. It's not someplace else that you have a pleading request to come in. It's already here within the world. Now we in the 21st century, who deplete the earth's resources and threaten life by global warming, would do well to recover this sense of intimacy with the physical universe. If we truly love the earth as sacred, not just something we get along with, but something truly precious and sacred, we'll treat it with the respect it deserves and perhaps come back into harmony with it. So that's the first great insight from Celtic paganism, that intimacy with the natural world as being sacred, as being precious. The second was their sense of continuity about life. Life was a cycle, didn't have a beginning, go long, and it's all over. It was this eternal cycle that we are part of. So that death was not the end of life. It was merely a change in the cycle. In fact, death was a god to be honored and remembered. And ancestors were to be remembered very consciously. So now we in the 21st century who don't like to talk about death, who avoid the subject, what would happen if we treated death as a god, as something to be honored, as sacred, It would transform our whole perception of this reality. We'd have a new relationship with it. Now, in recent times, Celtic paganism has become popular again in Ireland, in the US, and within Unitarian Universalism, because UUs about 20 years ago realized it was totally wrong to appropriate Native American customs. We heard the call from Native American spiritual leaders saying, look, we've lost enough. Don't take our religion. Don't appropriate our customs for your cool ceremonies. And at that moment, 20 years ago, the UUs looked back to their Celtic roots. Let's go back to where we knew an earth tradition. And so that's how it's had a resurgence within the Unitarian Universalist movement for those who want to be earth-centered. Now, in the modern world, we no longer call upon gods and goddesses. And this is good because much of those traditions were very superstitious. Okay. Instead, we call upon atoms, electrons, cells, and other scientific names to describe the physical universe. But in our modern quest for an accurate description of the physical world, we have lost something precious. We treat the physical world as something inert, lifeless, like an object. It has become like an impersonal backdrop, like some kind of Hollywood movie cardboard scene in which we could have our grandiose human life, right? And Celtic paganism urges us to recover the sense of the sacred within the physical universe we're living in. That is, in the physical matter, in the energy of this universe, is some kind of sacredness, some preciousness that has given rise to life. That means that the ground you walk upon is not impersonal soil, but is an amazing planet. Now, we had that choice. I can say, walk, I won't even think about it. We just walk upon it. Who cares? It's just dirt. Or we can say, wow, I'm on the planet. I'm on this amazing planet. I'm walking on it. Okay, which way do we want to go in the future, in the moment? Breathing air. It's not just impersonal atoms that we're breathing. It's like a life-giving substance. I mean, the air we breathe is all the gifts you've ever received, and all the Christmases, Hanukkahs, birthdays combined don't match one single breath in value, right? So do we breathe just another breath? It's kind of inert. Or do we breathe the gift of life? The tree we gaze upon, do we just kind of use it? Or do we remember that's our breathing partner? That green bush is my breathing partner. We breathe back and forth all the time. Okay, so we can remain entirely scientific, but we need to recover a sense of the sacred within the physical world. And such an appreciation will make our living a much richer experience and encourage us to treat the earth with the respect it deserves. Celtic Christianity really is from Ireland. It was lost in the other places. It arrived in Ireland with St. Patrick in the 5th century. Patrick had been captured by Irish raiders and spent 7 years as a servant slave. He escaped back to England and Wales and heard a voice in a dream saying, "We ask you, come and walk with us once more." Patrick believed that this was a call to evangelize Ireland, and his charismatic ministry there, along with other early saints like Bridget and Finian, inspired a vibrant Christian community. Irish Celtic Christianity is a unique expression within the larger Christian movement. It flourished for centuries until it became restricted by the rules of the Roman Catholic Church and by the political power of the Anglican Church. Celtic Christianity emphasized the immanence of God, God indwelling, not above or beyond, but within. It was deeply influenced by the earlier paganism, and it taught that God was within the world and within every human soul. So it bordered on pantheism, and this is why the Catholic Church said this was not allowable. You had to push it back from its margins. Now, this is one Celtic prayer that's famous. God is over my head, God is under my tread, God is over me here, God is over me there, God is in the earth, God is in the air, God in heaven does dwell, God is in the great ocean swell, all pervading one, God is with me. Now, in Celtic Christianity, this immanent indwelling God is personal. Of course, this is the statement of faith they make. It's like our father, our mother, or our best friend. As one Celtic scholar, Helen Harris, writes, quote, "With God, we are to do what any committed friend would do. We talk honestly over our thoughts and feelings. We ask for guidance and direction, trusting that we will receive it. This friendship isn't limited to a specific time or activity. It is this moment, now, and always." So for Celtic Christianity, prayer was like an intimate, daily, ongoing conversation between best friends. And this was aided by another great tradition within Celtic Christianity, the giving of blessings. Blessings were just given all day long. Food was blessed, people were blessed, actions were blessed, trees were blessed. Everything ordinary deserved a blessing. Now, what does that do to life? It makes it sacramental. It means that everything ordinary in life deserves a blessing because it's precious. Now, Celtic Christianity did emphasize the Trinity, but it was an expression of the love of God, and Jesus was like a good friend to talk it all over with. Now, the symbol was the Celtic cross, which you'll still see many places. The cross, Christian, the circle from the wheel of life, from the earlier paganism. And finally, heaven and earth within Celtic Christianity were not separate places. They actually coexist right here and now. Just when we drop the body, we just go over to the other side. But it's right here and right now all the time. So there wasn't this great sense of separation. Even heaven was indwelling within the physical world. Now, just as Celtic Christianity forced paganism to change and go underground, so the Catholic and Protestant churches forced Celtic Christianity to change and go underground. It lost much of its spiritual vibrancy. However, in the last 25 years, it's resurfaced again and become very popular in Ireland and also to a certain section of American Christians. Now, I believe both Celtic paganism and Celtic Christianity has had this resurgence of interest because it's emphasized this intimacy with the sacred. Spirituality means focusing on the experience. Religion means focusing on the beliefs. And the modern world doesn't need more beliefs, but it does need more intimacy with the preciousness of life. And that intimacy is the strength of Celtic spirituality, both pagan and Christian. It says you don't have to go anywhere. That preciousness is here and now. It's indwelling within the physical world you're living in. It's indwelling within your soul, within your messy life. It's fully present. The sacred is imminent. But we, in the modern world, we're caught up in our busyness. We're too busy to take notice. We accumulate a lot of things, and we have to take care of them. And we have this anxious need to control life and perform adequately. Do we savor life? One of my best friends nearly died last year from pancreatic cancer. He says now he savors every moment. Even the parts of his job he used to hate, he savors them now because he came that close to death. And he said his message now to his children is, savor these moments. But we're all so busy. Who has time? You know, it's like the world is a magnificent bouquet of flowers or a magnificent banquet of food here for our appreciation. And yet we keep eating at McDonald's because it's fast and it's our habit. Now, if we could slow down even just 1% and start to savor the moment. Because we've sort of had this archetype that, well, the divine is someplace out there, I'll get to it someday. If I get all my ducks in a row, I'll finally realize it, I'll be close to enlightenment, I'll get it. Now, this approach is saying there's no thing out there to get in the future. It's right here. The preciousness of your life is here and now for you to savor. So you slow down just a bit and you savor. We know what savoring is like. When you eat something you enjoy, you savor it. Now why not bring that savoring to the rest of your daily life? So that's the invitation from Celtic paganism and Christianity. The imminence of the sacred within the physical world, within your world, here and now.